Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor, with another episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Hardwood Handicappers is brought to you by Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball takes into cash. Download the Better app and use code VSINPOD to get $10 free. No deposit required. That's VSINPOD, V-S-I-N-P-O-D. We have a link for that in the description. We are recording this Tuesday episode on December 2nd at 10 a.m. Eastern. December 2nd, that is my best man for my wedding's Devin's birthday. So happy birthday, Devin, if you are listening. But we are going to get into last night's action because I do think it was a very eventful night in the NBA. I'll start with the Mavericks beating the Nuggets 131 to 121 in a game that I think that, you know, the Mavericks got some really strong performances out of Cooper Flagg, Anthony Davis, and Ryan Nemhard. Flagg had 24 points, 8 rebounds. AD had 32 points, 13 rebounds. And Nemhard, I wouldn't say out of nowhere, but definitely a little bit surprising, 28 points, 10 assists. Nemhard is doing a really good job of setting the table for this Dallas team, a team that we know had struggled up until the last week or so offensively. This has been a very good defensive team to start the season. Now has a very good playmaker at the point guard position, definitely a little bit undersized. I wouldn't expect him to kind of keep that up, but I do think it helps them a little bit because Dallas has been very point guard needy this season. And, you know, D'Angelo Russell is more of a scorer than an actual point guard. So having Nemhard in there to just kind of set the table, you know, make plays, get guys in their spots, I think that's absolutely huge for Dallas moving forward. Not that this Mavericks team is really looking to make the playoffs or anything, but it's just a big step in the right direction to just kind of get them playing better basketball. And it helps everybody on the team, including Flagg, who is now the betting favorite to win Rookie of the Year, has put together two really strong performances in a row. And I said it last episode, like, I just think the way that he is getting to his spots in the mid-range, it's been sensational. And I think he looks really comfortable shooting the ball in that area of the floor. And I think that he's really thriving with NBA spacing. I think he was playing in a tight and packed court with Duke, and it was just kind of hard for him to showcase his jumper. That thing looks really pure right now. And I think that he's going to kind of run away with Rookie of the Year from here. But actually, the big takeaway in this game specifically was that the Nuggets have been struggling a little bit. This is a Denver team that has now lost four home games in a row. Oddly enough, they've won six straight road games. And I don't think that there's a huge big picture takeaway with this because, you know, this Nuggets team is missing some very key pieces in Christian Brown and Aaron Gordon. And Jamal Murray was hurt for a little bit of that game. He came back in. But it's just a team that's banged up right now, struggling a little bit to get stops. And it's something to monitor over the next couple of weeks because maybe they're a team to fade until they get some bodies back. But, yeah, it's not a team that's playing great right now. I think that they will figure it out once everybody is back in the lineup, but just really something that I'm keeping my eye on because I wouldn't mind fading that team over the next couple of weeks. Another big performance. The Suns beat the Lakers 125-108. Unfortunately for Phoenix, long-term, Devin Booker did injure his groin in this game. And Booker's a player that has sustained, you know, soft tissue injuries all throughout his career. Always seems to happen at this type of time of year because I think that, you know, he puts a really big workload on himself. And I think that, you know, the Suns do it to him as well. They just expect a lot out of him offensively. And I just think he's prone to get injured because he's putting so much tax on his body. But, you know, it's probably not something that Booker is going to return from right away just because you have to be very careful with these types of injuries in the NBA. But, you know, it's still a really good performance for Phoenix. You got 33 points out of Dylan Brooks, 28 points out of Colin Gillespie, who I said last episode, I think the Suns are going to have to pay him as much as they could possibly pay him this summer because Gillespie has turned into one of the best shooters in the entire NBA. He's also a very good playmaker, like sets teammates up for very quality looks. There's some really interesting data on that at databaller.com. And I just think that this Suns team has been really, really fun to watch. Hopefully Booker comes back soon. I mean, I am a Phoenix fan, so I would like to see him back soon. But in terms of just, you know, casual NBA fans, this is a team you're going to want to watch because the Suns are now top 10 in the league in both offense and defense. They are very, very aggressive defensively. It's been very fun to watch. And offensively, their process has been great. And I think that's what we saw get to Los Angeles last night. I mentioned this team is, you know, solid defensively because they defend well in a team concept. J.J. Redick is a good coach there, and these guys are all very coachable. But I will say they're the team that, you know, they can fall asleep off the ball. They don't have a lot of great individual defenders, and they faced a team last night that had a great offensive process, and that is why the Suns just got whatever they wanted last night. And the other, you know, thing I will mention from that game, LeBron only had 10 points. That streak of him scoring double digits that goes all the way back to 2007 was very much in jeopardy there. And I have noticed a little bit. I don't know if it's something that other people have noticed. If you've noticed it, tweet at me. I'm interested in hearing. His jumper looks different to me. I think that there's a lot more, you know, swinging of the body involved, like almost as if he's trying a little bit harder to reach the basket. It doesn't look as, you know, smooth as it normally does. And this is a guy that's turned into a knockdown, you know, three-point shooter in the later stage of his career. And it just has not looked good to start the season. I think that LeBron's doing a nice job of just trying to fit in to this offense right now. I think that he knows that, you know, Austin Reeves and Luka Doncic are the two guys that should have the highest usage rates on the team, and that he needs to be a little bit more of a play finisher and scorer in this offense. But man, that jumper, it's starting to worry me a little bit. I saw a video of it, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, just seeing him shoot around. Maybe it was when he was with South Bay, I forget, with the G League team. But I saw a video of him taking jumpers. It did not look right. And now seeing it in the games, there are a few where it looks normal, but a couple of them per game are kind of head scratchers. So kind of keeping my eye on that as well. Last individual performance that I want to mention is, you know, the Heat beat the Clippers 140 to 123. I've kind of gotten on this Clippers team over the last couple of days, but it kind of has to be, you know, beaten into the ground at this point. I mean, this Los Angeles team has now slipped to 20th in the league in NBA, in offensive rating, 27th in the league in defensive rating. I mean, last year, this team was 15th in offensive rating. It's not that big of a slide on that end of the floor. And, you know, if you actually look at the numbers themselves, they were 114.3 points per 100 last year, 113.7 this year. That's not the big drop off. It's the defense, because this team was third in the league in defensive rating a year ago. They're now 27th. So they went from being a top three team in the league to, you know, bottom three in team in the league when talking about defense. That is not going to cut it. They are now 5-16 on the season, 7.5 games back from the sixth seed, which is where you want to be if you're a Western Conference team. You don't want to be in the play-in, but they're also 3.5 back from the 10th seeded Blazers. So 3.5 back from just being in the play-in. They are running out of time fast. I'm really wondering, you know, I'm recording this at 10 a.m. Eastern, like I just mentioned. I think Ty Lue is going to be fired very soon, because I just don't, I think he's a very good coach, but it's pretty clear he's not getting through to this team anymore. And I wouldn't be surprised if they want to give Jeff Van Gundy a look. And I wouldn't be surprised if that happens by the time that I'm, you know, done recording this podcast. I think it's going to happen soon. Maybe not today, maybe not next game, but I think it's going to happen in the next week or two. If they don't really pick things up fast, I think that you're going to see Jeff Van Gundy with a chance to coach this Clippers team. So I think this is a team that really needs to figure it out soon. The one thing they have working in their favor is that if you look at tankathon.com, they have some really good numbers for, you know, remaining strength of schedule for the season. Clippers are kind of a middle of the pack team there. They don't have the worst schedule in the world moving forward. So maybe they can figure this out by, you know, winning all of the games they're supposed to win against some of the worst teams in the NBA, and then also playing decent basketball against some of the better teams. But also, if you look at Tankathon, the more concerning thing is that the Thunder have the Los Angeles Clippers picked this year. So you're talking about an OKC team that is absolutely incredible, looking for back-to-back NBA titles, and very well could have a top five pick in this draft if Los Angeles doesn't figure some things out soon. So those are the takeaways from last night. I do want to get into the games for tonight. I have four best bets, so if you're looking for picks, this is a good show for you. But I do want to quickly answer a question that I got on Twitter, on X, I should say, because my Twitter account is Betting on X. I should be calling it the right name. So yeah, got a question on X that I thought was worth answering. Somebody asked me, it was Mystery Mike, somebody that I really appreciate listens to the podcast. He asked me why I bought to 7.5 in last night's Pacers game, which did not end up mattering at all. Pacers got blown out in that home game against the Cavaliers. But the reason I bought the 7.5 and didn't want the 6.5 is because if you're talking about key numbers in the NBA, it's not as important as in the NFL, where there's a very determined numbers that you want to be on. But there are some numbers in the NBA that you want to keep in mind. I think the biggest ones are 3 and 7. Those are because, you know, 3 is a one possession game, a 3-point game. That is very, very important in the NBA to be in that zone if you're talking about, you know, a game that you expect to be very close. 7, though, is where the game stretches to 3 possessions, and 7 is also the most common margin of victory in the NBA. Outside of those two, I think it's a little less important. I think you see a lot of people argue between 5 and 6. I personally, like, if it's very close between the two, I look at 5 as the key number. So when I'm taking an underdog, I always like 3.5, 5.5, 7.5. But 3.5 and 7.5, I think, are the two most important ones. And yeah, like I said, it's the difference between a one possession game and a three possession game. Those are the two big ones to me. Seven, like I said, the most common margin of victory in the NBA. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, late in a game, if it's a three possession game, the team that is losing is going to give up and the team that is winning is going to stop pressing to try and score. So that is very important. Like, I think that last night specifically, it's not something that I really, really go out of my way for. Like I said, this is not as important as it is in the NFL, but I was choosing between 6.5 with the Pacers at -112 and 7.5 at -118. And, you know, the extra 6 cents to get through that key number for me was worth it because it was just so cheap to do so. So that's why I did that. I wouldn't go crazy and kill yourself really thinking about these things. But yeah, I love getting questions like that. If you ever have questions of any kind, you know, feel free to reach out to me. I like to think I'm a little bit approachable. So yeah, like I mentioned, betting on X, feel free to shoot questions my way. But also, I do update sometimes when I add picks to the website. And last night I added a pick on Colin Gillespie to go over 14.5 points. I added a pick on the Suns to cover against the Lakers. So if you were following me, or if you were, you know, checking out the VSiN Pro Picks page, you got two more winners that I didn't give out on the show. And I did go 2-2 with show picks. So that was the difference between a winning night and, you know, a slightly losing night. So yeah, definitely important to follow me on Twitter. And you do also occasionally get some really dumb tweets out of me, which I think are fun, but hopefully you do as well. But let's get into the games for tonight. It's a pretty fun Tuesday slate. I'm going to skip only one game this evening, and that is Wizards 76ers. Washington's coming off a good win over the Bucks last night, but you know they're double-digit dogs on the road in this game. Really don't love either side here. I don't have a great feel for the side or the total, and I've mentioned it before, but player props are really hard to back in games that are expected to be lopsided, and I do think that if I were leaning anywhere with this game, I would say that it's likely the Sixers win this game somewhat convincingly. So I don't have any player props here. Maybe I'll add some later, but I really do doubt it. So I'm going to start with the Blazers at the Raptors. Raptors are laying 5.5 in this game. Total's 231.5. Pretty crowded injury report in this game. For the Blazers, you have no Drew Holiday, adding to, obviously, no Scoot Henderson, who's still out for a little bit. No Damian Lillard, who's out for the whole season. And then you have Donovan Clingan, questionable. You know, their big rib protector in the middle there. So it makes this game a little bit hard to read, especially with RJ Barrett and Jonathan Mogbo out for the Raptors tonight. I think that I look always for, you know, trends with these teams to see who is playing well when certain players are missing. And I didn't see a lot of that tonight, but the one that I did see is Denny Avdia has performed very well without Drew Holiday this season. And that's because his usage rate goes way up when they do not have Drew Holiday out there. Avdia is a guy that can run the offense. He's a really good passer on the wing. So they could run some offense through him. They could, you know, use him as kind of an on-ball, you know, decision maker, but also he's a guy that just gets downhill a lot. You'd want to have the ball in his hands because he's very good at driving to the basket. He can knock down threes and he can set up teammates. So I think that Avdia over 39.5 points, rebounds, and assists is a good look for tonight. He's averaging 55.5 points, rebounds, and assists in the last two games he has played without Holiday. And tonight he's going against a Raptors defense that is bottom five in the NBA, defending at the rim and defending spot-up opportunities. So I think Avdia is going to get some stuff going at the rim. I think he's going to knock down some threes, and I also think he's going to chip in quite a bit with assists and rebounds, and that's really the only thing I have in this game. It is a game where I'd kind of lean Raptors because I do think that Portland missing Holidays is really tough just because of what he brings on both ends of the floor and then what he brings in terms of just leadership, and I do think this Toronto team is very good. I don't think we've seen that over the last week or so, but you know, the entire season's bodies of work and season-long statistics say this is a very good team on both ends of the floor. Next game, this is probably the biggest game of the night. This is what I'm considering the game of the night. That's what I told my producer, Matt. I think Knicks at Celtics. Knicks laying 1.5, total 230.5. This is the first game of that Peacock doubleheader for tonight, or NBC. I think this is a really, really exciting game if you're looking at the Eastern Conference big picture, because I mentioned it yesterday on the show. The Knicks are starting to look like the team to beat in the Eastern Conference to me, and I do think this is a team that I'm going to be, you know, talking a little bit about more over the next couple of weeks, and I'm going to have something up at vsin.com later this afternoon about the overall state of the Eastern Conference, bets worth making, so make sure you head over there for a feature on that. But yeah, I think that this Knicks team is really, really good. Having said that, I think this is a really tough matchup for them, so I actually have the Celtics money line -108 in this game. And the reason for that is that the Knicks are allowing more made threes per game at 15 per game than all but two teams in the entire NBA. And they're allowing opponents to shoot 37.8% from deep this season. And while Boston isn't as three happy as they have been under Joe Mazzulla in the past, they're still third in the league in attempts per game from, you know, behind three-point line, and, you know, shooting 43 of them per game, knocking down 15.3 triples per game. You know, they're tied for fourth in the league right now with the Knicks, but I just think that the way that the Knicks defend, they're a little bit over-aggressive and, you know, hunting after the basketball, keeping teams out of the paint and from getting to the rim. And that allows opponents to get a lot of quality looks from deep. And I think that that's going to really play into what the Celtics want to do here with all the three-point shooters that they have in this game. And then I also think that the absence of OG Anunoby is going to be felt very much in a game like this, because he's a big, athletic, physical defender that could cover a guy like Jaylen Brown, who has been sensational for Boston this year. And Brown is one of the guys that, you know, when you talk about the Celtics generating quality looks that are not three-pointers, a lot of that comes from Brown and his ability to get to the rim, take, you know, and make really tough shots in the mid-range area. I'm not sure the Knicks are going to have anybody that could really cover him tonight. I think that they'll probably try to get away with Mikal Bridges, but there's a pretty big gap in strength in that matchup. So I think that Brown's going to win out. And I'll also just throw in the fact that the Knicks are 3-5 on the year this year. When playing on the road, they have a net rating of -0.2 away from home this season. The Celtics this season at home, 6-4 with a net rating of +6.8. So just a very big discrepancy in how these teams play in home away splits. And then I'll also add, the Celtics are 45-16 straight up under Joe Mazzulla when looking to avenge a same season loss. And the Knicks did get them earlier in the year. Great coaches make great adjustments. I think that Mazzulla finds a way to get Boston back in the win column. Not a VSiN Pro subscriber yet? This is your best chance. Our Black Friday special is still live. For just $60, you'll get full VSiN Pro access to everything that we offer all the way through May 1st. That includes daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings, Circa, and Bracco, AI-powered prop tools and weekly wide receiver cornerback matchup tools and edges in the NFL, 24/7 video and replays on the VSiN Watch app, coverage of every major sporting event through the spring, from football and hoops to March Madness, the NFL Draft, and the Masters. Our biggest new subscriber offer of the year is here. Do not wait. Go to vsin.com/subscribe now. That's vsin.com/subscribe. I've mentioned this the last few days. Like, we have a lot of strong offers all throughout the year, but I do not think that anything comes close to matching our Black Friday offer, $60 for the next several months. That's a great, great deal. And I did mention at the top of the show, like, I had a few plays that I gave out strictly to the Pro Picks page and to Pro subscribers. So if you like the work that I'm doing with the NBA, having a Pro subscription gives you more access to my plays, but it also gives you access to everybody's plays. And we have such a talented team at VSiN, whether you're talking about the MLB, the NBA, the NFL, just every sport, we have you covered. And I've mentioned it before too, I even do tennis. So if you're looking to stay up in the middle of the night, like I am, you know, handicapping European tennis and tennis in Asia, I've got you covered there. So yeah, just a great time to be a VSiN Pro, and I'd strongly suggest jumping on the $60 offer. Next game, Timberwolves at Pelicans, 8 p.m. Eastern tip. The Timberwolves are 10.5-point favorites in this game. Total's 234.5. I don't really have a strong, you know, lean either way on the side in this game or the total, honestly. I have a slight lean on the Pelicans, just because the Wolves are 4-6 against the spread on the road this year. The Pelicans, for as miserable as they've been at times this season, already got a coach fired. They are 6-5 against the spread at home. And Minnesota's playing a third game in four nights. Two comeback victories that took a lot of energy, one against Boston, one against San Antonio. And this is a game against the Pelicans team that I think that can be, you know, a bit of a letdown spot. I think that New Orleans is, you know, a bad team. Teams always expect to go in there and win very easily, especially with the Pelicans having a bit of a weaker fan base. They're not going to have a lot of fans at that game that are really eagerly looking for them to win. But I do think that this is a game that can sneak up on opponents, especially with with New Orleans being a little more competitive lately. They are 6-2 against the spread in their last eight games. Things have looked a little bit better under James Borrego. So if you want to take a side there, I would go Pelicans. But my pick in this game is going to be Derek Queen over 3.5 assists at -102. And I'm going to look for ways to ladder that up to six assists. So head over to VSiN.com to see how I am doing that later on. But I will say, like, I've been looking for ways to back Queen on the assist market all year. He's a very, very good passer, especially for a rookie and especially for a big man. And I do think that as long as he is playing good minutes, he's going to be a threat to flirt with five assists. The only thing that's scary is that James Borrego has been a little bit quicker to hook Derek Queen than Willie Green was. He seems to like Eve Misi a little bit. The second year center gives the Pelicans a bit of a different look. He's a better defender. He's a little bit more active on the glass. And, you know, Queen is more of an offensive minded player. But Minnesota's defense has slipped a little bit this year, down to 10th in the league in defensive rating. And I mentioned it before, like, this is a tough rest spot for the Timberwolves and also a tough mental spot just getting up for this game. And I think that all equates to a sloppier performance on the defensive end. And Queen is a player that could take advantage of anything that's lazy on the other end. Like, if the other team is not defending well off the ball, he will find cutters. He will find open shooters. So I think that Queen finds his way to 4 assists tonight. I think that he plays 25 plus minutes because I think he's going to be playing very well against this defense. So we just have to hope that James Borrego keeps him out there. Next game, Grizzlies at Spurs, 8 p.m. Eastern tip. This is a game where the Grizzlies are 5.5-point underdogs, totals 232.5. I like the under on this play. I actually got a worse number on it than you'll be able to get, I believe. If it's still 232.5 by the time you're listening, you are going to get a better number on it than I did. But I got 231.5. I like the under here. Zach Edey returned for Memphis 8 games ago. Since then, Memphis is 23rd in the NBA in pace, just below San Antonio, is only 22nd in the league in pace. So neither one of these teams really looking to play all that fast at the moment. And while I do think that the Spurs should probably play a little bit faster because I think they have the guards, especially in De'Aaron Fox, to kind of beat the Grizzlies down the floor, not allow Zach Edey to get set defensively, I don't think they're really going to do that. So I think that Memphis is going to kind of get this game to be played a little bit slower. And this is a Grizzlies team that's 4th in the NBA in defensive rating since Zach Edey returned. Very dialed in on that end of the floor, playing some really good basketball without John Morant. And that's an interesting situation because I've talked a lot about some of the teams that are playing without stars right now, like the Magic without Paolo Banchero, like the Hawks without Trae Young. This might be the only one that I legitimately think that there's legs to that team being better without the star player, because Morant has slipped so much as a creator offensively, and he's already so bad defensively. And then the attitude has been such a problem that I legitimately think that Memphis has a good argument that they are better without Morant. And I don't know if they could find any takers for him on the trade market, but it is something to watch moving forward. But back to the under. The under is 14-7 in Grizzlies games this year, 7-4 in their road games. The under is 6-4 in Spurs home games. I just don't see this game turning into a shootout, even though it's a matchup between two teams where you'd expect kind of shot making to shine through because the defenses aren't that good. I do think Memphis has been good enough defensively with Edey, and I do think that the pace of play will kind of lend itself to an under. Last game we're going to talk about, it is the second game of that NBC Peacock doubleheader. It's the Thunder against the Warriors, OKC laying 11.5, totals 222.5. Unfortunately, this is a game where we've lost a lot of the juice from the matchup because there's just so many players that are out tonight. I mean, Steph Curry's out for the Warriors. Jimmy Butler's questionable, and it seems like a legitimate questionable. I do not know if he's going to play. Do not have a lean either way. Usually I will try to guess and probably guess that wrong, but I do think that it's a genuine 50-50. And then you're talking about a Golden State team that's the best shot maker in NBA history in Steph Curry, and that he's the only trustworthy source of offense for what is already a bad offensive team, and you're facing an all-time great defensive team in OKC. And while the Thunder are without Alex Caruso, Isaiah Hartenstein, Lou Dort, three very, very good defenders, three defenders with all NBA cases, I do think this is going to be a very difficult matchup for Golden State to just kind of generate good looks. And that just takes all the steam out of it for me. I mean, I have the slightest of leans to OKC minus the points and the under in this game, just because I think it's going to be super, super ugly. And I do think that the Thunder are going to just completely stifle this Warriors team without Curry. But I do not have a play here. I wish I did. So, yeah, I'm sorry to say that I do not have a pick in one of the big national TV games. But, yeah, leans on OKC and the under. If you think you could read matchups, rotations, and usage, prove it on Better Picks. Pick more or less on player stat lines and turn your basketball analysis into real money. Right now, use code VSINPOD to get $10 free, no deposit required. Make 2 sharp picks and you could win up to 1,000x your entry. Live in 33 states, download Better and get in the game. It's VSINPOD, VSINPOD. I mentioned we have a link for that in the description. Now let's run down the best bets for today's show. There were a bunch of them, so we'll start with Denny Avdia, over 39.5 points, rebounds, and assists against the Raptors. I got that at minus 112. Celtics money line minus 108 against the Knicks. That's going to be my biggest play of the night. I'm going to play that to win 1.5 units. I just think I really like the matchup for Boston. Derek Queen over 3.5 assists at minus 102 against the Timberwolves. And I did mention, head over to VSiN.com later. Once I put my story up, I'll show you exactly how I'm going to ladder that up to 6 assists. I think he's going to have a few more than 4 if he plays the right amount of minutes. So I want to be a little bit more aggressive with it. And then the last play, Grizzlies Spurs under 231.5. That is all for today. We are going to have some more picks tomorrow. So please join me on Hardwood Handicappers, and then we will have Jonathan Von Tobel back on the Thursday episode. So good luck with your bets tonight. More to come from me the rest of the week. Please enjoy, and I hope you come back.